Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, July 27th. I'm Sarith Hawk. The notorious San Andreas Fault in California has been eerily quiet, and that has earthquake researchers concerned.
Well, the main San Andreas Fault hasn't, in Southern California, hasn't ruptured since 1857, and that's a bit long.
New research looks at what the potential is for the next big quake. We speak with a scientist who studied some of the largest faults in the state and their likelihood for rupture. That conversation in just a moment.
KVPR's $10,000 drawing is underway. Do your part to support KVPR by purchasing your $100 ticket for a chance to win the grand prize of $10,000. Only 800 tickets will be sold. Purchase tickets now at kvpr.org/10k.
And now to our feature story. California is earthquake country, with the San Andreas Fault snaking 800 miles up and down the state. But the largest quakes along that fault, ones that registered a magnitude over 6 or 7, have been absent in the state for decades. For years, experts at the U.S. Geological Survey have said that one of these major quakes could hit California within the next 30 years. And a new study confirms that key sections of the San Andreas Fault have indeed been building the highest level of tectonic strain in the last 1,000 years. I spoke with the study's author, Dr. Lillian Burkhard, a scientist with the University of Bern in Switzerland, to talk about what this means for the state and the area is most vulnerable here in the Central Valley.
California is a major tectonic plate boundary. It is the plate boundary between the North American plate and the Pacific plate, and these are very large plates. And the San Andreas Fault accommodates most of the slip in that area from these two plates, so that's why it's an area that is very prone to earthquakes.
And Dr. Burkhard, you did a lot of research on the San Andreas Fault. Specifically, I'd like to understand, how do you track the tension or the strain that is building up in it?
Well, technology has advanced in the past, 20 or 30 years, that we can actually track it with satellite and satellite data. But if we go back, so for our model, for instance, we reconstructed 1,000 years of earthquake history. And, just 100 years ago, we couldn't track anything really with modern technology. So what the scientists at the USGS do is do trenching studies. So they dig around, look at the San Andreas Fault and look at sediments. And there's different things in the sediments, for instance, organic material, and you can date this organic material according to different methodologies and then say, oh, this has moved in such a way that we can say that must have been a large earthquake. And then we can date these types of sediments and go back almost 1,000 years.
Wow. I was wondering how did you look back 1,000 years? So that's really interesting. With a fault, there's really a cycle that happens, right? There's like a buildup and then a release. How long has this latest drought, quote unquote, lasted for us?
Well, the main San Andreas Fault hasn't, in Southern California, hasn't ruptured since 1857. And that's a bit long if you look at the earthquake history that we reconstructed. So it's a little bit, people like to say it's overdue. I would avoid the word overdue. It just hasn't happened yet. That's what I would say. But yes, so since 1857, that was when the last major rupture on the San Andreas Fault in the south occurred. But you guys are in an area where there was an earthquake in 1957 that was quite large. I believe it was like a 7.3 or 7.5 magnitude. But that wasn't on the main San Andreas Fault.
Interesting. Are there certain factors that can either add to tectonic stress or relieve it that you have studied, for example, weather or other environmental factors?
Well, actually, I was just looking at a study where sea level rise can contribute to tectonic stress. If there's a large increase in sea level rise. Something like that happened, for instance, 9,000 years ago in the Black Sea, I believe, near, you know, the fault system by Istanbul, the Northern Anatolian fault system. And also here in California, actually, thousands of years ago, the sea level was rising. So that was actually putting pressure on the tectonic plates. So that has an influence as well. And when we look at, you know, the more recent history now, that we haven't had a large earthquake since 1857 in the Southern San Andreas Fault, and what we see that so many people moved into that area, and all these people need, you know, water, they're pumping water out of the ground, and also there's a lot of oil fields, especially in the valley area, so they also can change the pore fluid pressures, and that can sort of inhibit ruptures as well sometimes, or induce ruptures depending if the drilling activity is actually injecting fluids into the ground. So we have fluid-induced earthquakes sometimes, but they're not large so far that we know of in that area. But there's also an interesting study about the 1952 earthquake that made a link to an oil field that just started drilling 3 months prior to that earthquake.
Wow.
But that hasn't substantiated. So that's just a theory.
I see. So it's a mixture of what could be man-made causes and also natural causes.
It's mainly just tectonic stress, you know, just tectonic is the main earthquake inducer, so to say. We are just a little part in that whole thing. But, you know, the whole planet is one system. So each little thing plays a little part in something. And that's what humans do as well. We play a part in it. But the main part is the tectonic plate movement.
Wow. And I'm just looking at the information about the 1952 quake that you mentioned in our area. This is in Kern County. It happened in July in the southern San Joaquin Valley, measuring 7.3.
Yes.
So, you know, it's been a while since we've seen what you talk about as a large earthquake in the 6 and 7 ranges. The last one being the 1994 Northridge quake in Southern California. How has technology to predict earthquakes changed over time since then?
Well, we have a lot more information now, especially through, you know, satellite GPS data and such. But we still cannot forecast or predict earthquakes like we can with the weather, you know, because the atmosphere is, you can send balloons into the atmosphere, you can monitor it from space, you can see the clouds, you can measure the pressure in the air. And, you know, it's easier to put all of that data into a model and then predict the weather than it is to predict earthquakes or try to forecast earthquakes, because we cannot just look into the ground very easily. We can only look at certain points in the ground, and that doesn't give us a whole picture. But we've made a lot of advances in the past 20 years, I would say, but we're still not there that we can actually make a forecast that is accurate for earthquakes.
Right. But you mentioned in the next 30 years, we could be seeing something that would be considered a big earthquake. Where would that be centered? Would that be mainly sort of Southern California area we're talking about?
Well, the USGS has released this report a few years ago, and they say that there's a 75% likelihood of a magnitude 7 plus earthquake happening within the next 30 years in Southern California. For the northern part, you know, Bay Area, it's a little bit lower. But I would say, you know, when we look at my study, for instance, we can see that the stresses are really high in Southern California. So I would say Southern California is probably the place where such a large rupture could happen in the next years or whenever.
And how could that impact our area? I think Bakersfield would probably be the closest to any of that activity happening.
Yeah, so you're kind of further away from the San Andreas Fault. But the issue that I see with that area is that you are actually in an infield basin, which means that the ground is not very consolidated. So you're not sitting on bedrock, really. You're sitting in an infield basin, which means that seismic waves can be amplified and it can actually increase the shaking. So even though you're kind of far, further away from the San Andreas Fault, you have other faults nearby that are more You have some thrust faults nearby, like the Great Valley Fault area, and then, but the White Wolf is also a strike slip fault. But these are different. They're probably not going to be as large of ruptures as the San Andreas Fault will be capable of producing. But you'd still will feel it over there, but it's you're kind of further away. So, and it really depends where you live. So the ground that where your house is on, that has a lot of influence how the shaking will be felt in your area.
And when you're looking at sort of the breadth of your research and at all these different studies that are looking at this, the information from the faults, how does that concern you as a scientist and a citizen? Do you think California is prepared for something of that magnitude?
I don't think we can ever be really prepared because it's such a sudden event. You know, it's not something like we can prepare for. Oh, there's a storm coming, so we know, you know, how to tie everything down and everything. It's just something that will happen, and it will happen in an instant. So, but you know, rather than being scared or alarmed, we should be prepared that we have a plan, you know, that we have supplies at home, especially water, that you have water at home for a few days, that you have some sort of power backup, that you have a radio as well, because, you know, communication might go down, and also have a plan with your family. Where are you going to meet up in case you cannot communicate anymore or something like that? And just get to know your neighbors, you know, because there's a real strength in community when something happens. But I'm concerned for the people for sure. So that's also a reason why we really wanted to get this study out. And because it's sort of, you know, you sort of live with this, but it's always in the back and you don't realize it anymore until it comes up in the press again. And you're like, oh yes, there's an earthquake threat to California. Because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we haven't had a large earthquake ever since I lived here, which is 50 right. years or whatever. But the threat is there, and the USGS says, you know, it's 75% within the next 30 years. And that's, you know, if those were my odds of playing the lottery, I'd be playing every day.
Well, Dr. Lillian Burkhard, scientist with the University of Bern in Switzerland, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you for having me.
And that's today's show. Where do you listen to Central Valley Daily? You can find us across all platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the NPR app. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.